This is the Top Agents Playbook podcast, episode number 4.
Welcome to the Top Agents Playbook podcast, your source for the very best tools, tips, and ideas used by real estate's top performers. Now here's your host, Ray Wood.
Well, hi, everybody, and welcome. I really hope you're enjoying my podcasts. I have plenty of excellent content coming up, and today's interview with Peter Brewer is no exception. Pete is a real estate agent, or a former real estate agent, from Brisbane in Queensland, Australia, and Pete comes with a wealth of information. In fact, I learn something more every time Pete and I talk. I love our chats because I always come away with some fresh and innovative information. Pete is passionate about marketing and about using technology to help you promote your personal brand, grow your business, make more contacts, get more listings, and make more sales. So I think you're going to really enjoy this interview. You don't need to make a heap of notes because everything will be available at topagentsplaybook.com. I'll include every reference that we talk about today, any links, it'll all be available in the show notes under Pete's interview. Okay, let's get into it. Well, hi, everybody, and welcome to another Top Agents Playbook podcast. Today, I'm speaking with Peter Brewer, and Peter's a good mate of mine. And today, I'm just going to go straight out and ask you, Pete, what do you do? And welcome.
G'day, Ray. Thanks for the opportunity, mate, to spend a bit of time. Mate, I'm the international man of mystery. People say to me, what do you do? My kids say, Dad, you actually get paid to play on Facebook? And it's not as simple as that. But Ray, I'm a 30-year veteran of the real estate industry, and these days I've moved from the practicing side of real estate, running a real estate business, a real estate franchise group, through to now coaching real estate agents around the effective use, and that's my keyword, the effective use of all things technology. It's a fascinating space to be in these days with such amazing changes.
I love it. And I will confess that I did actually know that, but I just wanted to hear it from the man himself. Pete, can we start by just demystifying the whole kind of online marketing space for real estate agents? Because I know you've got some strong thoughts here and some really good ideas. Can I let you just talk about that for a little bit?
Demystifying it. I don't know, Ray. Look, you know, real estate for me over a 30-odd year career, we've managed to complicate such a simple thing of find a buyer, find a seller, put them together, build a relationship with people, rinse, wash, repeat, do again.
Yeah,
you know, we did it with with print, and now for some reason we're managing to do it in the online space as well. Now this is very simply for me a relationships business. How do we use the tools then of today to build better, stronger, and deeper relationships with the people that we want to do business with, and vice versa?
Yeah, see, I can tell you because I get emails virtually every day. Well, I do get them every day from people saying, Ray, how on earth do I get an online presence? What do I need to do? What does my website need to look like? What does my Facebook page need to look like? Do I need Twitter? Do I need Instagram? And there's just, and that's one of the reasons why I wanted to get you on the show, because there are just so many questions coming through. And in all honesty, I believe there are very few agents that firstly know what to do, and even fewer that are actually doing it well. So if I wanted to start, if I wanted to break into that space, what would be your advice? Where would you start?
Ray, look, I think first up, we've got to have a digital twin. You know, so let's accept that behaviours have changed. We've got a whole new consumer operating a whole different set of channels than what we did maybe 15 years ago, probably even 10 years ago.
Sure.
We've got, you know, in fact, a stat from the RE/MAX Global Conference a little while back said that 41% of sales last year were to millennials. So let's call those 30-year-olds for a number.
Okay.
So that behavior of those people is a whole lot different. So for me, it's about what does my digital twin look like? And let me preface that a bit better. Let me explain a bit better. If I look at most real estate agents today, if I was to walk in the main street, let's say let's pick on James Sexton. What a great guy. If I walked into the main street of James' area, people would say, oh, you're James Sexton, good guy, been involved in the local community for a long time, involved in the Chamber of Commerce. We see him at the post office. He bought the jerseys for the local footy team, and he's just an all round good guy in the offline space.
Right.
Then I go to the online space. Do I find exactly the same thing about James Sexton in the online space? Well, the facts are that I do.
Yes.
But in most real estate agents' spaces, when I go and search their name, product or service, or certainly their name online, I probably end up getting a page one search result for a baseball player in Minnesota.
Yeah.
And so, it's true. So what does what's your digital twin look like? And so then simply it is, to answer your question, where do you start? Well, it's about how then do I replicate that offline person into the online space, whether it's, actions through Google or websites or social media presences or LinkedIn, those sorts of things. So, how do we get ourselves found by the new consumer in the first instance? And so that's the first place to start for me is, understanding that process, having a digital twin.
Well, you mentioned James, and what a good example. I'm actually going to put a link to James' website in the show notes so people can actually see that. He's a terrific example of somebody who has cloned himself digitally, I guess, as you'd put it. And there is an online presence. What about social media? Should I have a community? Okay, let's talk Facebook, which seems to be dominating things at the moment.
Sure.
We're recording this in March of 2015, so who knows what's going to be happening in a day, a week, or a month, or a year from now. But
sure.
Should I have a personal page, which is limited in many ways, I know. You're probably going to say no to that. Do I have a personal profile, business page, community? I know James runs a community. We love the Adelaide Hills, and he gets a big following from that. Or do we have a group? What are people doing now? What's the most logical way to make it happen?
What's the recipe for Coke? Who's got the 11 herbs and spices? Who can replicate KFC? Great question, Ray. It depends on the market that you're in. And it depends what your ultimate goal is. For example, I run various groups for some industry organisations who want to communicate with a closed group inside their inside their business or inside their association or their institute. And so those kind of groups for specific interests are working really, really well. The communication channel is better. The notification process is better. So groups, there's certainly a trend towards groups from a lot of people who are being quite specific about a niche.
Okay.
Pages, Facebook pages that most were doing sort of 5 years ago, 10 years, or 5 years ago. They're still okay, but you've got to go in. If you're going to go and run a page these days, you've got to understand that Facebook simply is an advertising company. That's what they are. They're a modern day Courier Mail, Sydney Morning Herald, New York Times. They're an advertising business. And so unless you're prepared to go into there and spend a few bucks, you got to really question, whether that's the place for you to be.
Okay.
And then look at profiles. Absolutely. I believe every single one of us needs to have a Facebook profile, which is us as a person.
Yes.
But what we need to do is understand how to effectively set up those privacy settings so that we're not sending out all those embarrassing bits and pieces, or that we're actually understanding how to use lists. So quite a deeper thing, and something that I spend a lot of time with individual businesses, determining what's their why. Why are they there? What do they want to achieve by their Facebook presence? Because too many, Ray, wake up in the morning and say, well, we better be on Facebook because the guy down the road is, and we better throw some crap up on Facebook because the guy down the road did, but with no end in mind, no understanding of why am I there in the first place? What's the benefit? What value am I delivering? I did some work recently with one of the major motor vehicle companies. And they were so passionate about, they were salivating across the boardroom table saying, Peter, give us the recipe. We want to know, how do we get more likes? Give us the recipe. We just want to get more likes. And there was their marketing people and their CEO was like this exuberance of, we want more likes. And Ray, because I charge by the hour, I needed to string out the answer a bit. I left them salivating for a little while. I looked back and I simply went to the whiteboard and I wrote these words. Be more likable.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty simple, isn't it?
Yeah. So give people a reason to like you.
Exactly. Give some content that people go, wow, that's good. That's interesting. That delivers value. Because if we're just going there to make noise, Save yourself the trouble. Go and knock on some doors. Go and deliver some high quality content to your market. You know, understand why you're there and deliver some value that people will like.
Yeah. You and I were talking earlier before we started recording about I think you mentioned the Inman conference. Was that in New York City in January this year? And the average number, or give me those numbers, the average age of a, because I found that fascinating, the average age of an agent.
Yeah, and look, for me, this, you know, I always get a light bulb from the Inman Connect conference as you said, January in New York. Yes. And July, August in San Francisco. And last year, you know, one of the absolute takeaways for me was this, is the age of a real estate agent in the United States, and I've run this, by the way, across most of the franchise groups, associations and businesses in Australia and New Zealand, and it's this, the average age of the person running the shop or the average age of a real estate agent is 58. Now, here's the kicker, though, Ray. The average age of the person consuming the product is 31. And we start to think about the disconnect between those behaviours of crusty old 58-year-olds like me.
Yeah.
And the 31-year-olds. And look, the best example I can give you is this, is that you know, I've got a 23-year-old son, Samuel Peter Thomas Brewer. And when I want to talk to Sam, I'll ring him. And it'll go ring, 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 and then it will go to voicemail.
Right.
And in 5 seconds later, I'll get a text comes back from Sam, says, what do you want?
What do you want,
and I'll
Dad?
Text back. Yeah, exactly. And I'll text back.
Hey,
and
I know how that
I
works.
I want to talk to you. Yeah. You know? And so unless I'm prepared to talk to Sam in his channels, using his vocabulary on his devices, there is no communication. He's in charge of that conversation.
Yeah.
And I look at so many people in our industry, Ray, who are still stuck in the ways and means that Tom Hopkins and God bless lots of other trainers gave us 30 years ago, and we need to change our channels and our behaviours and our vocabulary, understanding that 50% of the world's population is under 30. That stat from the RE/MAX Global Conference in Las Vegas recently, 41% of sales were to millennials, and we'll call those people an average birth age now of 30 years of age in 2015. So really interesting understanding that change that most or the lot aren't understanding.
It's interesting you mention that. Because I've noticed what's happening here in North America is that the industry has been so slow to adapt in many cases, mm-hmm. That we've had the rise of these companies like Trulia. Who's the other big one? There's another huge
Zillow.
Yeah, well, one just pulled the other out, I think, for billions of dollars.
Zillow's
for
Trulia.
Yeah, but I mean, that's really taken a, you know. Agents used to control the listings, and the MLS, obviously the multiple listing service, is huge here in Canada and the US. But that's no longer the case. It's been completely taken away, mainly because the industry failed to come to terms with what's going on.
And Ray, and that's factual. There's a slide that I used that I'm using in current presentations, and I look at companies like Zillow that 5 years ago weren't around, and they're now a $7 billion company.
Yeah.
I look at it in Australia, realestate.com is a $7 billion company. I look at Domain, you know, it's a $4 or $5 billion company. I look at Trulia that's been bought by Zillow for $4.2 billion.
Yeah.
I look at why has this happened? It's because we failed in our industry to understand and recognize the change, and other, you know, drivers have come in and said, huge opportunity. And, yeah, you know, I said, you know, a couple of years back, what would happen, you know, if Richard Branson woke up tomorrow and said, gee, there's a fair bit of coin in that real estate business. They get some nice fees for service. Why don't I start Virgin Real Estate? What if Virgin and Nike got together and said, this is pretty cool, let's get in there? You know, we would change so much. We'd go, holy hell, we better do something. My question is, there's a question I ask to people in my current presentations is, if you knew that your number one competitor was going to go 100% digital in the next 6 months, what would you do?
Yeah, great question.
So if you knew that the guy down the road was going to go videos on every listing, videos in every neighborhood that he worked in, frequently asked question videos on his website, of everything to do with the sales, purchase, rental, landlord, investment process of real estate. If there was videos on every one of the staff members, every staff member had an iPad for their presentations. The office was kind of virtual, was pretty cool. The website was pimped out. It had lots of lead generation stuff going on. If you knew that was the way that behaviour was changing, if we knew that our competitor was going to do it, what would you do? And most people say to me, Ray, they say, well, we'd do it. And I got one simple question that says, why aren't you doing it now?
Yeah.
If you think it's important, why aren't you doing it now? Why do we know in our business that 77% of home buyers expect or want to see a video or virtual tour when they look at a property online, yet we're still sitting here with less than 1% of agents actually delivering that opportunity? Yeah. Isn't that crazy? Yeah. 77% of home buyers saying, show me a video, less than 1% of agents actually doing it. I'm never listening. Fascinating.
Tell our listeners, please, Pete, the story that you've told me a number of times, because it fascinates me. It's the story of let's leave names out of it. He's a very successful agent in a big team, and they quiz him. Your story goes they were quizzing him about his success. Do you know the story I mean?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah.
Can you share
it's
that?
It's a cracker. Well, it's, yeah. and it's factual.
Blows my mind.
It's crazy. You know, this is a guy who's generating between $500,000 and $700,000 a year in income over the last 3 years, on average, between $500,000 and $700,000 of income. He's a salesperson in an office, clearly successful salesperson, very successful office. There's 20 odd other salespeople inside that business. And as he recounts the story to me, salespeople regularly come to him and say, we'll call him Fred, what's your success? And he says, my success is my database. My success is the way that I communicate with people. My success is that I know exactly what every person on my database is doing. I know what properties they've looked at online, what they've clicked. I've got interaction. I send them regular, relevant content. I keep in touch. And people say, that's fantastic. What's that cost? And he says, he nominates a figure, you know, which is, you know, several hundred dollars a month. And they go, oh, yeah, we didn't want to spend that much. Isn't that fascinating? And so they slink back to their $50,000 incomes, you know, and so real estate's tough. Yeah. You hear that? They've got the recipe to success from a guy who's just a guy. You know, he's no magnetic dynamo. He's not Arnold Schwarzenegger, sort of the trendy word at the moment. He's no Arnie, you know, and he's no chick magnet, you know. He's just following some very simple rules using the technology of today by way of his database. He's using the right content with his database, and he's sharing, he's tracking it. That's making him successful. But people are rarely prepared to pay the price that's going to give them that dollar.
Yeah, that's just a fascinating story. And I asked you to tell it because I've actually heard many people tell the same story. They find the key to success, but maybe, I don't know, maybe the agents that aren't doing the numbers that they want to do, maybe they think it's all too simple and they can't get their head around it. I don't know.
Right, you know, yeah. Well, look, I'm going to take this opportunity, and this is an unpaid announcement, but I'm going to say, I look at, you know, people say, Pete, what is the best database? Because you and I know the answer is it's the one that you use. But then I look at, you know, the various databases around, and whether it's Complete Data or My Desktop, you know, I keep coming back to Locked On.
Yep.
And the people that I deal with love Locked On, and this is not an advertisement paid for by you in any form, but they love the fact that it's ready to go. You know, it's push the button, insert the name, and away we go.
Yeah.
And, you know, and for me, that's, you know, that to me is a no-brainer. You know, when you can just import the data and it makes you a rocket scientist straight away, for me, that's just a no-brainer. So anyway.
It is. Look, it's, full disclosure, I'm a director of Locked On. In fact, what I will do is I'll put a link on the show notes here so people can check it out. They can get a free 30-day trial, suck it and see, as we say. And if they like it, I'll make sure that they get a heavy discount on the joining fee as well.
Ray, I wasn't trying to take down the path of trying to flog something,
You know, can I tell you about that just for 1 second? Aaron Shiner and myself have been asked for years and years, and this is going back a long time, what is the best software to use? What should we use in our office? What's working? What's out there? Because people look to us for advice and ideas. For a long time, and in fairness, real estate software has been evolving so fast and so quickly. You know, it was very, very clunky for such a long time, but there's been so many amazing changes. In any case, I know personally, and Aaron as well, we would recommend something and it would come back to bite us in the butt because it would fail them. It'd be clunky. It wasn't cloud-based. It was difficult to use. They never had time to use it.
Already, they lost data. It was probably designed by someone who doesn't understand the business.
Probably.
They're probably a great database person, but they don't, or, you know, a great web designer or a software designer, but do they understand the business?
And I think your point before is valid. The best software is the one that you love and that works for you. So if you're using something that you're getting results from, then by all means, don't change. Keep doing it, because that's really what it's all about. And that story that Pete told about that guy just now is living proof that a good database is so important. Let me change gears now, because if I know one of the most common questions that I get is, Ray, how do I build an online contact list of potential sellers that I can build my relationship with? I can email, I can give them newsletters, I can give them updates. What would you suggest if you're starting raw? You don't have much of an online presence. Where's the low-hanging fruit, Pete? What should people do?
it's
I said I'll put you on the spot.
You did. Well, let's start taking names. You know, if you've got a pulse, you're a prospect for me. If I've just started, and you've got a pulse, then you're a prospect for me. You're someone that I want to talk to. These are the days of us sitting back in our offices and waiting for someone to walk in are over. That's gone.
Okay.
We've got to get out there and prospect. So, look, there's lots of ways with low-hanging fruit, whether it's going back through the company's old, you know, transactions. I mean, I'm a massive believer that the world is full of real estate orphans, people that were loved by their real estate agent during the transaction, but there's been no love afterwards. They've just been thrown in an orphanage.
Yep.
And, you know, I mean, again,
that's an interesting term.
Yeah, well, let me take you to, you know, again, Inman in January of this year in New York. Stat from the stage was, and I love this, you know, 90% of sellers, when surveyed on settlement, said they would use the same real estate agent again.
Wow.
And so you hear that and you go, well, that's pretty cool, you know. So we're doing a good job. 90% of sellers on survey on settlement said they'd use the same real estate agent again. But here's the kicker, Ray, is that this is the bit that hurts, that 90% of sellers ultimately didn't.
Wow.
And so it's what happens. What happens that we move from that settlement day of raving fans who had said, you know, or not even, even if they weren't raving fans, were saying, you know, Ray did a good job. Pete did a good job. We go back, no problems, really happy, got the price, marketing was right, service was good, they looked after us, I'd use them again. Then what happens in that relationship process between that settlement then and, you know, whether it's 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, 10 years' time? That they've forgotten that we actually exist. That, you know, we're off the shopping list.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, and it's because we take the money, we jump in the Mercedes Benz, we disappear into the sunset, and then we go and spend a whole lot of money marketing with all sorts of fancy glitz and gloss, trying to find new people when the ones that loved us, the potential ambassadors, the people who could sing our praise, are just waiting for a bit more love.
Yeah.
And we fail to do it. So, you know, huge opportunity. Let's, you know, what's, how do we build a relationship beyond that transaction? You know, what are the touch points that we put in place with that seller after the settlement? Of course, the thing for most real estate salespeople, Ray, is that, you know, the property settled on the Friday. They've still, the person's still being left in the database, and they're still getting the crap that real estate agent sends about all their new listings.
Yep.
They still get that for the next 5 years. You know, once you've settled, that information just becomes spam rather than valuable.
Yeah.
And so, where does the touch point, how do the touch points change in that information that you're delivering to people beyond settlement date? You know, are you knocking on the door and saying g'day? Are you sending some snail mail, which I love, you know, and some of the stuff that you've been doing with Carl Quested is fantastic. And so, you know, but I look at, you know, so what's the snail mail? What's the telephone call? What's the call by? What's the other information that's valuable that we're providing to those people? And most don't get it. Most salespeople don't get it. You know, and that's that. You know, that's the difference between average, which is defined as best to the worst or cream of the crap, and above average, people that go that one extra mile, that extra 10% that make, you know, 5, 6, 700, 800,000 million bucks a year.
Yeah. I heard a term recently that I really like, talking about productivity. Forget where I think it was on a podcast or I read it in a book or somewhere. And it's that the top agents are what they call multipliers. And a multiplier is somebody who leverages like one action. For example, the situation you've just talked about, if you could set up an automatic follow-up sequence that got in touch with that person X number of times, whether it emailed or prompted you to call them or send them a letter or whatever it might be, if you spent, I don't know, a day, 3 days, whatever it took to set that system up so that same thing could happen each time, you're multiplying your or leveraging your time in a multiplying way, that would have to bear fruit, wouldn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's what are the touch points? I guess some of those systems there, and Locked On again does some of those things. Again, it's not a shameless plug. But, I was just looking at a comment on Facebook in one of the real estate communities this morning where there was a discussion around the open rate on email.
Yeah.
And someone was sort of a bit excited saying, oh, well, we get 32% open rate. And someone said, oh, well, ours isn't that good. We're getting 9% open rate on email. And that's the only communication channels, the only communication they're having with their database, their client base.
Yeah.
And look at them and go, if they had 3,000 people in that database and they're only touching 9% of those people, that's 300. It's 270 people of the 3,000 that are seeing their crap, their content, depending what it is. Or the other person with 30%, 3,000 people, they're still only getting to 1,000. So what are the various touch points that we can automate that will give us that amplification of conversation that you're alluding to, and it's there. It's just, it ain't that tough to do. You just gotta do it.
I was listening to Garth Murkowski speak at Recharge in Sydney last year, and he spoke about, and I've heard about this company before, and I'm looking into it because it's an awesome service called Send Out Cards. And I don't know whether you've heard of it or not, but people can actually send out a card. They set up their handwriting in fonts, and you can do it all online and send out an actual greeting card with an image of your choice on the cover. For example, it might have been if you've just sold a property, you've got a photo of yourself and the buyer in front of the sign or the sold sign. You could send that out with the seller. You could send out it's St. Paddy's Day today, to be sure. Well, it is here in Canada anyway. So you could send out something like that. So that's just another way. And the thing I like about direct mail or sending a card is your chances of it being opened are probably closer to 100%. And like you said, email's a little bit of a poker shoot at the moment because, I think anything over 20% open rate is considered pretty good. So it's not just the email that does it. There needs to be the supporting, the phone call follow-up, et cetera.
Absolutely. It's the cross platforms. It's how do we use as many platforms as possible, we've all got it, right? We all go, open our email in the morning and go, oh, here's that bloody crap from that person again. Yep. It becomes spam, So let's mix it up, as you suggest. Let's do some send-out cards if that's what works for you. I've got an uncle that has a send-out cards business and he loves it. And I've got to say, I get my cards from him and I go, wow, that's nice. It's handwritten. Yep. It's got that nice thing. Now, I know that's coming from send out cards via his system, but I still, I still get warm and fuzzy that I got something in the mail from Uncle Keith. So, how do you mix it up with, a bit of email, a bit of star mail, a couple of cards, a couple of phone calls, a drop by with $20 to say, just want to grab you guys a pizza, whatever it is,
The interesting thing with email marketing as well, when I get, and we all get bombarded with email marketing now and nowadays, and you can tell it's really just somebody hitting as many numbers as they can because they can do it virtually for free. If somebody sends you a letter or a card or gets on the phone, at least there's some effort. A letter or a card, what is it, a buck or a little bit more? Somebody's gone to some trouble and it means something. So that connect point, that touch point as you call it, I think is really important. Pete, what about I'm like a dog with a bone with this, but my original question was focusing on online marketing. Now, I know you and I've had discussions around, free traffic is dead. How and where should people be marketing? What should they be doing to gather fresh online leads?
Great question. Where should people be marketing together online? I reckon you've got to have a database. A website that rocks.
Okay.
You've got to have a website that rocks. Now, that website might not be just Raywood Real Estate. It might be CanadaPropertyReport.com. It might be LithgowPropertyReport.com. I think there's a range of lead generation opportunities that we sit back and ignore. Imagine if I could, for $250, build you a website called, LithgowPropertyReport.com or CairnsPropertyReport.com, and have that as a website that you own that generates a constant flow of leads and business opportunities for your business.
Yes.
Most people would go, oh, well, that's cool. Why don't we do it? But then most don't. So it's understanding the ease. Whether that's $250 or $1,000 depends on the intricacies of the website. But if that becomes a lead generation website, that mixes a bit of the old. We generate traffic and drive traffic there by way of some of the old things we do, like letterbox drop content. We drive traffic to that to a brand agnostic website that starts to drive leads back to our business in Cairns or you know wherever our business might be. So you know, that sort of stuff is very cost effective, but for some crazy reason, we continue to spend money with lots of other third party providers or lead generation sites. So I'd be spending money on lead generation sites for myself. I'd certainly be having my own, I'll say this word, kick-ass website for my own business.
Yes.
That talked about the wonderful things that our business did, and I'd have lots and lots of testimonials, understanding that 86% of people trust social proof over glossy print.
That's, so if I can have, can you just say that again? Because anybody nodding off, I want them to hear that.
So 86% of people will trust social proof over glossy print.
Yeah.
And what I'm saying by that is that I can stand out in a $5,000 ad in front of a BMW with a fancy Italian suit on and say, I'm a rock star. And most people go, well, no, you're not. But if a bucket load of people say, no, no, Pete's a rock star, they'll go, oh,
yeah.
People said he's a rock star. He must be a rock star.
Yeah.
So I'd be having a website that used lots of testimonials, some social proof that people saying, dealing with Pete was one of the best experiences we had. You know, he gave us feedback. His marketing was good. The price was happy. And we'd certainly recommend him to a family member or friend. If I can have a website that talks about that, it to the modern day consumer, they'll go, wow, that's cool. We understand that. I'd have a website that had lots and lots of video and lots of information that solved people's questions, that solved their problems, that gave them feedback. I'd establish myself as an absolute online expert, the product or service that people needed information about. So I'd be doing those things to create that online presence.
Yeah, perfect. And okay. Yeah. Well, one of the things there you talked about, you're offering something of value. I call it give to get marketing, but you're giving people a reason to go there and you're giving them real value and a reason why they should be putting in their name and an email to get that report or whatever it might be or the information. And the second thing you mentioned is testimonials is so strong. And that brings me probably back to that example of multiplying. If you can get a testimonial from somebody, whatever, you know, it doesn't really cost you anything and you can use it forever. And the time to get it is, and I'm sure you'd agree, Pete, right when the relationship is at an all-time high and they're euphoric about the result that you've just got and, oh, Peter, if I can ever do anything for you, well, in fact, that's the time to say, as a matter of fact, there is, you know, would you give me a few words, et cetera, on the service you receive from us? So, and then if you get a good collection of those, they're so valuable. But there again, you know, are we talking the 80-20 rule here, do you think, or is it more like the 90-10 or the 95-5? Because so many agents just don't do that simple thing that could bring them so much business.
Ray, I talk about in my presentations, I say real estate agents won't be replaced by technology. They'll be replaced by real estate agents who effectively use technology. Yeah. So I'll put that in the context of testimonials. Now, a written testimonial is nice, but some people these days are a bit cynical about, oh, yeah, well, they wrote it themselves or their uncle did that. So when I talk about the effective use of technology, and if we take that situation that you alluded to of settlement day, happy seller, standing in your office, they're handing over the bottle of champagne or the gift basket and the keys, and everyone's happy. You know, they're just, you know, why wouldn't we, in a technology sense, in a marketing sense, pick up our iPhone or a Samsung and say, you know, Ray, could I just grab you for 30 seconds? Would you mind just giving us a 30-second testimonial for me to use in our marketing to future prospective clients? Would that be okay?
Yep.
And I suspect you're going to say, yeah, absolutely, Peter. So if I could just hold this phone up now and just video this, there's just four questions that I'd like to ask you, Ray. First up, and I'd hold I'd physically hold my iPhone up, and I'd have both the client and myself in the frame on the video. And I'd be saying, Ray, firstly, can I just ask, were you happy with the marketing of your home? I know it's settlement day, it's exciting for you. Were you happy with the marketing that we did on your property in terms of quality of ads, the placement of ads in the right channels? Were you okay with that, Ray? And I suspect you'd say, yeah, sure. No, it was really good, Pete. Yeah.
Yep.
And then I'd say, so Ray, look, in terms of feedback, I know one of the biggest things that people complain about in the real estate industry is lack of communication. For us, communication was really important. We were out every Friday night at 5 o'clock with our feedback report. We're happy with our communication that we kept you informed.
I loved it. I was even able to log into the portal that you supply and get the information automatically anytime I wanted.
That's fantastic, Ray. Well, again, we know communication is a key thing. Ray, in terms of price, because that for many people is the cruncher. You know, there's this, are we getting the right money? Now, here we are on settlement day, you know, it's all happened. ultimately, were you happy with the price that we achieved for your property? Did we do the job? Did we really scrape every dollar out of the ashtray that we possibly could to get you the best buck for your home?
We're deliriously happy, Pete. It was a sensational result.
Right, we'd love to hear that, Smith & Jones Real Estate. Mate, last question before you go very quickly. Would you recommend us to a family member or friend?
Absolutely. In fact, I already have.
Ray, thanks very much. Welcome, Smith & Jones. We really appreciate that. Thanks for spending 30 seconds, 60 seconds with us. Really appreciate you doing that. Look forward to looking after you many times in the future. Cheers. Bam. End of video. Press upload to YouTube. Ka-ching. Instant testimonial to the online world saying, pizza rock star.
Working for you 24 hours a day.
And it's credible. You know, there's million, you know, Jimmy or, you know, Fred and Ernie, you know, stand there saying, yeah, no, he was good. Yeah, no, they fed back all right. Yeah, no, the price was good. You know, we missed that opportunity. And that is marketing gold.
It's real, isn't it?
Yeah, 86% of people trust social proof over glossy print.
Yeah.
You know, so it is, you know, the challenge is those that want to do that will start to reap the benefits. And look at, you know, and so there's the first one done. Then the next one, you know. And you know, if you're knocking over 20, 30, 40 deals a year, by the end of a year, by the end of 2 years, you've got 50 to 100 video testimonials. How powerful is that?
Yeah. There's your whole listing presentation right there.
It is.
Imagine sending, or what about this? Imagine sending a, on a website, on a specifically tailored website, I'm just blue skying this, to a seller before your listing presentation with a selection of these videos. I mean, that you could do that on a shoestring. That'd be so powerful. Yeah,
absolutely.
But
you think about it. You know, if they were that powerful and it was that good, you could probably almost send the listing authority with it and say, just sign here and send it back. Because I suspect a satisfied consumer would go, he's the man for me, she's the woman for me, that's our agent. You know, you probably wouldn't even need to go and do the presentation.
That's crazy. Before I let you go, where are we heading? What's the future? What are your thoughts?
Oh, mate, I don't know. Isn't it fascinating? I'm going to answer that in two ways. One is, you know, we're talking about wearable technology. We're talking about agents, doing lots of only their own personally branded websites for themselves. And I get that because people buy people. So I can see lots more personal marketing coming into the process. Brands will still be important, but that personal services marketing, relationship marketing of people buying people, I see that we're going to head a lot more down that track.
Yes.
Lots more automation. I can certainly see that. The one thing that I think we've got to be careful of, and I'm going to go back to my mantra again, and I apologize in advance, real estate agents won't be replaced by technology. They'll be replaced by real estate agents who effectively use technology. And I want to say effectively, because here's the warning. You know, we can get distracted by the bright and shiny, or what meant for many people is what I call the shite and brighty. And so my example is, I was with an agent recently who said, here's another story. But no, here's an agent who was talking about buying a three to four thousand dollar drone and getting their drone pilot's license. And I said, well, why would you do that? And the person said, well, because, you know, we've got to have drone footage. And I said, why don't you just be a really good real estate agent and then partner with someone who does drone footage?
Yeah.
I had someone else was going to spend $4,000 to buy a 3D camera. Now, look, you know, I think that's one of the areas that we're going to make it a better experience. So they're talking about spending $4,000 to buy a camera that takes 2 hours to build a 3D rendered image of a property. But that agent's in an area where the homes are $200,000.
Yeah.
I'm going, why would you spend $4,000 on a camera that builds a 3D image that takes 2 hours to make to sell a $200,000 home?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we can get distracted by the shite and briny, by the next big thing, instead of worrying about, let's go look after the last big thing and do it really, really well. So, so I think that's where we're heading. I think there's lots of opportunity, but let's not get distracted by, you know, find a buyer, find a seller, put them together, do the transaction, rinse, wash, repeat, get on to the next one.
Yeah.
You know, that to me is, you know, we started on this thing of we're complicating a pretty simple business. Let's make sure we don't get involved in too much of the shite and briny instead of just doing what we need to do.
One of the things that we sidetracked ourselves, I think, but the websites, with so much of the market mobile now, so many real estate websites I see won't work on a mobile device. They won't even work on a tablet. So I guess the advice there is, if you're redoing your website or you want some ideas, make sure you choose a package that is going to give you a fully, it's called responsive. It's going to work on every platform. It's going to work on every mobile device, on every tablet, because mm-hmm. that is, you know, every chance it's at least half your market. And
absolutely.
I guess people are looking for a tech-savvy agent. Would you agree?
Oh, without question. I think there's that perception. Do people get that stuff? Do people understand how to use Facebook marketing? Can they do a Facebook ad for my property? Do they understand video? That could be my magnificent points of difference in the listing presentation when they go, wow, their website rocks. Wow, they understand digital marketing, whatever form it might be. You know, they expect that we should know that stuff. And I've got to tell you, Ray, for the fee that we're charging, we better start knowing that stuff, because yep. a trained monkey can come along and do what most agents do, and that's get a listing, put it on realestate.com, wait for the phone to ring. Well, we've got a savvy consumer these days who's going to start back and say, I'm not going to pay 3% Australia or 6% in the United States for stuff that I can do myself. So, yes, they expect us to be a tech-savvy agent that gets the space. So, you know, look, you're 100% right on that responsive design on mobile. Critical thing, you know, build for mobile in terms of websites. Have things like click to call. You know, we've got it. You know, we've all done it, I'm sure. We're sitting there with our mobile phone, a phone number, for, you know, looking at someone's website, and then we've got to remember what that 10-digit number is to ring them. Why not have that website that it clicks to call, and bang, it just launches the telephone to ring that agent? So, you know, they're little things, but, you know, so I think partnering with the right web designer who, you know, who's got some great testimonials from good real estate agents of driving traffic and building great sites for real estate, that's a no-brainer. Don't spend the money with your cousin or your uncle, you know, who can build you something for $200 when they don't understand the space.
No, look for real examples that actually work. And speaking of that, I know quite a few agents, in fact, a lot of people that you've been able to help seriously and really bump their numbers using your real estate experience and your knowledge of technology and how you leverage it. So if anybody's listening to this that would like to give their results a thump, whether you're an individual or a company, I think you should reach out to Peter. What's the best way to get in touch, mate? How do we do it?
My website's probably the easiest way, Ray. It's simply thatpeterbrewer.com is my website.
Okay.
In Australia.
I'll post that up under the show notes.
Yeah. And look, let's put my phone number up there as well. In Australia, it's simply 0417-630-962. You know, Ray, what I love doing, forgive me for the quick plug, but what I love doing is, you know, mixing my knowledge of the old world, you know, old real estate, with the new world and finding the balance. I love working with real estate businesses where the owner is saying, oh, I really want to change, but I don't know where to start. Where I've got a team of reluctant salespeople who are saying, oh, well, we don't want to do that stuff. And there's all this fear. Yeah. And I love going into those businesses and spending a couple of hours just to break the fear down and put it into simple, bite-sized pieces and explain it from an old world sense and a new world sense that they get. But a crusty old bugger like me can get it, then they can certainly get it too.
Well, that's exactly one of the examples I was thinking of, because I'm trying to remember who told me, but you went into their office and the guy said, Peter Brewer told my team what I've been saying to them for the last 3 years, but they listened to him, they didn't listen to me. So it's like they say, it's hard to be a master in your own castle. So whatever you're doing, mate, it's working. And
thanks,
congratulations. And the industry thanks you. So
It's fun. You know, it's fun. It's beautiful. It's a huge opportunity. And it's something that we can't afford to continue to ignore. Otherwise, we're off the shopping list of the new consumer. Yeah. And none of us want to be that.
Yeah, I totally agree. Thank you so much for your time. I could chat with you for hours on this. There's so much more to cover. But thank you. I'll let you get on with your day. Have a great day. And I look forward to catching up soon.
Always a pleasure, Ray. Keep doing the great work you're doing. I'm loving the podcast. I'm loving the series, and I love your content. Look forward to catching up soon. See you, brother.
Thanks so much, Pete.
You've been listening to the Top Agents Playbook podcast. For show notes from this episode, recent podcasts, and lots more, go to topagentsplaybook.com.